Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today we've got a lot of talk about neutral fabrics. We're going to talk a little free motion quilting and quick, easy gifts because, yes, you might still need to make something before you go and visit somebody or one of the big holidays show up here in the next few days. So let's get to our first guest, who is designer and author Pat Weiss. She is with the company Silver Thimble Quilt. That's the name of her company. But I have to tell you, Pat is amazing. She is exuberant. She is wonderful. And her designs are just incredible. What I really love, though, is I have to tell you this story about Pat, because I met Pat quite a few years ago when I went to talk at her guild, and her group decided, she's in Georgia, so they're in the south, and I am from the north, and they decided I should have real southern cooking while I'm there. So they organized a big dinner party with fancy crystal, and then they identified all the food for me so that I would be sure that I understood exactly what I was eating. And I will never, ever forget that. Their hospitality was incredible. And you will love getting to know Pat. So Pat, how are you today?
I'm super. How are you, honey?
I am good. You remember that dinner party?
How could I forget? It was fabulous. I think we waddled out the door. We did true southern cooking. We put Paula Deen to shame.
You certainly did. Yes, there was quite a lot of food, but I think we got a true taste of southern cooking.
Fried chicken and all the fixings is what we called it.
So, Pat, tell me a little bit about, I'd like to get a little backstory. You know, how did you come to making quilts?
Well, I came to quilting with a love of the arts. I was originally in college a studio art major. I was not a commercial art major, but a studio art major. And then I decided that I always would sew. My grandmother taught me to sew. My mother would sew a bit, mostly my grandmother. But in 1980, I took my first quilting class, and I never looked back from there. And of course, that makes me older than dirt, but we learned how to quilt with cardboard templates and no rotary cutters. We cut strips. We drew lines on fabric and cut it with scissors. So it was quite a beginning, and I stuck with that, and I would teach quilting after I learned a good bit through my teachers, and I would teach quilting in my home and in the summers, things like that. All the way throughout the rest of my life, I've been teaching off and on. I really had a great start.
You were also a teacher prior to learning to quilt.
I was. I was a kindergarten and first grade teacher. And yes. A title that is, aside from mother and wife, I would say the title that I'm most honored by is teacher. I think that to be in a classroom with children was my greatest honor, and I loved every minute of it. And it was an easy transition when I decided to stay home with my girls to teach quilting. It was an easy transition to walk from the kindergarten and first grade classrooms and start teaching people how to quilt. So it's been a fun transition. But I think that's the thing I love to do the most is teach. I really do.
Oh, great. So I also learned to quilt probably, a little bit later than you, but not that much later. And quilting has changed a lot since we started. What are some of the things that you've noticed over the years, just in your own style, about quilting?
Well, first of all, when you start to learn, like I said before, when you start to learn to cut strips with scissors and somebody gives you a rotary cutter, that changes your life forever.
Right.
But now when you think about it, Pat, you and I have witnessed, and now we're really literally a part of the whole internet changes and the blogs, the websites, Pinterest, radio shows like your own. I mean, it's just the sky is the limit now for quilters to communicate and reach each other. And the fact that we started out before all that came around, the changes are amazing. And I can't even wrap my brain around what's going to be next.
I know. Yeah, that is, I agree with you. It's incredible. It's hard to imagine quilting without the internet. I know there are people who don't yet, but it's for those of us who do, it's hard to imagine life
before it.
Well, it is, and it is changing everything for good and for the better. And but I still think that, you know, quilting, you know, is this touchy-feely business. I think quilters are still visiting lots of quilt shops, and we want to support our local quilt shops, and we want to take classes from people that are teaching in quilt shops. I think that's important to remember as well, that we don't walk away from that, that we do, you know, the Internet's a great thing, and I need to develop. That's one of my big goals for 2013 is to work a little harder in that area, but you know, I still love my local quilt shops and my in shop classes. So,
right, it is marvelous. The community of in person work can't be matched by, you know, sitting at your terminal. Even though we love it, we totally love it. I'm a geek. I've got a degree in computer science, so living online is comfortable. But I still need my people time, my face to face.
Well, and you're a people person, and that's why you're on this fabulous show. That just makes the communication so much better. It's just wonderful. I'm so addicted to it. It's ridiculous. You know, I just, you know, it's quilting 24 hours a day. So. It's a terrific thing, and we get to watch it change, and hopefully we can stay around a whole long time, so we can see what's next.
So tell me a little bit about how you decided to take your love of quilting and create your business, because you were teaching locally, but that doesn't always evolve into where you are now. I mean, people will teach locally forever and not really go out and produce patterns and travel and teach and write books. So how did you decide to sort of make that extra step?
Well, it was actually, again, with an art background, and I started a club at a shop here in the Atlanta area, and I started just kind of drawing out designs of my own, and I would write them on a little flyer, and the girls, and I started this club, actually it started in 2003, we're getting ready to have our 10th year.
Oh,
next
wow,
year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's a big club now. There are about 70 members. They're really at the heart and soul of how I began. But I would start designing for them, and then I would, you know, I said, well, maybe I'll try to write a few patterns. And then that developed, and I wrote a few patterns, and they were well-received locally. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I'd like to try to take this to a national level. And I put my big girl panties on, and I went to market. And my knees were shaking the whole time I was there. You know, it was like the most scary experience of my life. And it just grew from there. And I absolutely love it. I just absolutely love it. I really do. But that club is important.
And when you did go to the trade show, when you decided you were going to just go and see what it was all about and do a booth and everything, you also recruited your buddies, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I can't go anywhere without them. Are you kidding? They're the support, and I tell them all the time, they're the wind beneath my wings. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just, I have to see these people monthly. It's the third weekend of the month, and we've been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't just do my designs. We do other people's designs. We've done tons of your stuff. And the shops that I work in, we kit it up. They would kit up the designs, and they would sell the kits to people in the club, and they would come to club. They were not under any obligation to buy a kit. They could just come and sew. If they wanted to come and make curtains, they could make curtains. But it was a fellowship thing as well as a quilting thing.
Right.
It grew and grew and grew, and it's fabulous, and I wish more shops around the country could have the advantage of that kind of club. I wish more people had the advantage of being able to go to that kind of club. And these people are like family now. And it, like I said, it's a big club. It averages about 70 people a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So
People find out that might be able to come visit you at your club, you know, or join it? Where would they find out some information?
It would be on my website, Silver Thimble Club. That's the name of the club now. That wasn't the original name of the club, but it is on my website now. So, and I have my dates for 2013 on my, I think it's on my website. I better check that. Anyway, I will be posting those dates for 2013, but it's always the third weekend of the month. And there's three classes. There's a Friday day, a Friday night, and a Saturday. Silver Thimble Quilt Club.
Yeah,
we call it Thimble.
Okay, but your website name is silverthimblequilt.com, and then on there, there's a club tab?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
The club meets in Atlanta. So, but then aside from that, I'm traveling around the country teaching as well, doing guild lectures and workshops, which is my complete pleasure. I mean, I'm best when I'm in front of a group of people, obviously. That's my love of what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it.
And do you travel and teach a lot, Pat?
I do. And I've got some good trips planned for 2013 and 14. I'll be going up to Michigan this year, and I'm going down to Florida. Again, I've been down to Quilting by the Bay several times, and Texas, and I'm going out to Buggy Barn in 2014. So I'm very excited about my teaching schedule, and I'm always willing to add more classes on. I try to work it around where I can be in Atlanta on the third weekend of the month, but the rest of the time I'm on the road a good bit.
Well, that's good. They can find that, too, at your site.
Yes, they can. Anybody can contact me through my website and through my blog and stuff and set up if they're interested in having me come talk to guilds and things. So that's just...
I was going to say, before we take a break here, we have just tell me about your blog a minute, because we have about a minute here. Then we're going to take a little break and come back. But you love quotes like I love quotes.
I do.
Tell me how you use quotes on your blog.
You know, I try to make it linked to what I'm talking about that day, but mm-hmm. I don't always. Sometimes they're funny and sometimes they're serious and sometimes they're thought-provoking. I try to get a theme going with what I'm talking about that day, but that doesn't always work out, you know. But I have books and books of quotes. I just love them. And I have included them in my book, Spotlight on Neutrals, as well.
I noticed that. I was so excited to see that. That's great.
Yeah. And I have books and books, and now I can get them on Pinterest and all that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm a quote junkie, absolute quote junkie. And I have some, you know, I put one up there on my blog yesterday. I don't know if you read my blog yesterday, and I thought maybe we could talk about that if we had time.
Okay, I'll read it real quick before we go to break. Why did she make things? Well, because she enjoyed it, of course, but it also helped her remember who she was and where she came from by unknown.
Yeah, I don't know who the author of that was, but I mean, that kind of says it all. We love to make things just for the pleasure of it, but it also grounds you in who you are and who your family is.
It does. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolate with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm talking to Pat Weiss, who is a designer and a new author with Martingale. Pat, your book called Spotlight on Neutrals is fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of my baby.
You know how that feels.
You know how that first book feels, Ms. Sloan.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's fabulous. It's such a fabulous feeling when the book is done.
Yeah. Well, that too. There's that
yes.
too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your book, because I really do think it's one that is an addition people should have in their library, because it's a different approach to looking at neutrals. And I really like how you put it together. So just give me a synopsis first of what the book is, what you were trying to convey to people who buy the book.
Well, there are two aspects of the book that are important, and the first one being the primer, and I use the word primer because I am a teacher. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of instruction there that I think is valuable for quilters and to ramp themselves up that ladder of success and improving their quilting skills. So I hope the primer will be helpful to experienced as well as new quilters. So that's important to me as a teacher. But then there's the project. And I think when it comes to neutrals, and the way I design, irregardless of whether it's neutrals or a fabric with color, the projects are timeless. They're not trendy. There's something there for everybody, really. I think mm-hmm. that would be was my goal when I wrote the book. And
well, then,
and I think it's there.
I think so. I think so, too. I agree. I think you hit it right. You hit your mark with it. Now, tell me what is your definition of a neutral?
Oh, that's so funny, because when I stand in front of audiences of quilters, as I'm teaching, I always ask them what their definition of a neutral is, and mm-hmm. I get the most hilarious responses from anything from boring to blenders to nothing, if neutrals are nothing, to backgrounds. That's the most commonly used term. But really, in the purest sense of the word, if you ask me what is a neutral, I will tell you plain and simple my definition of a neutral, and I think it's pretty correct, but I mean, somebody could argue with me. Anything that's not on the color wheel is a neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That leads us to from black to white,
mm-hmm.
And all the shades in between.
Okay, so that'd be like shades of gray and cream.
Yeah, that's correct. And shades and tints, and also for art purposes, I would include brown as a neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could argue that brown is a compilation of a lot of color,
mm-hmm.
And it is, but if you want to get down and reduplicate the color brown, you need to be a chemist. If you mix up a bunch of colors and you mm-hmm. get mud, and children do that all the time, give them all the colors in a Play-Doh box, and by the end of the day, it'll all be brown. But you can't reduplicate that color because you don't know the exact portions of each color that they've used. So we'll include brown in the definition of neutral. So that would include everything from brown to the lightest shades of ivory, almost white. And mm-hmm. that brown and gray mixture brings you into your taupe area. So those would be your neutrals. Lime is not a neutral, really. And red and colors like that. If it's on the color wheel, we're not going to call it a neutral, at least for the purposes of my book. Now,
right.
You know, I think that's pretty easy to understand
mm-hmm.
where I came from.
No, it's perfect.
But the
that's
goal
perfect.
Of the book the goal of the book was really to call attention to neutrals and bring them to the forefront and show people that you can make gorgeous quilts with no color. You can make quilts that sparkle. And I think that that's really where the book shines. I really do. Yeah. It takes neutrals kind of out in the forefront and say, hey, we're important. We're not just background fabric.
I love that and you have a beautiful writing in here. You put a lot of work into your writing for the book. But one of the quilts that starts the whole book, tell me a little bit about it, called White Chocolate.
That quilt was exactly how I figured out. It was my club, again, that I mentioned before, and I wrote up this little flyer. It was a log cabin quilt. I made it out of neutral fabrics, and the shop kitted it up. I think that's a funny word. But anyway, and the thing started selling like hotcakes in the store. And, of course, I had nothing to do with that. People would say, make a pattern. And I would say, that's Southern.
Yeah.
This is a log cabin quilt. You want me to make a pattern of a log cabin quilt? Honey, it's been done before.
Yeah.
But they kept saying, make a pattern, and I did. And it occurred to me it was the use of neutral that really was pushing it over the edge, the total use of neutrals, and that's what started it all. Then I started playing around with just neutrals and no color, and I came up with several other quilts, and I did some other designers' patterns, and I was off to the races with neutrals, and I decided to submit a proposal to Martingale, and they loved it, and here we are.
Yeah, I just think it's incredible because I am not a person who generally works. I think of these as very tonal quilts, particularly your white chocolate. They're not all tonal in the book. You have a lot of with high contrast. But this one's very tonal. It goes from very, very pale to not much more than very pale in the shades of cream.
Right.
And it's just stunning. It is so, so pretty. I want to make one.
Thank you. Well, you should. But I'm going to say something to you and to your... You need to get busy, honey. What have you been doing? Make a neutral quilt. Let's go. Anyway, but I want to say something to you and to your listeners that's pretty important to think about with neutral. All right. You ready? Get ready.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If you want to learn about color, make a neutral quilt.
Mm-hmm. What does it teach us about color when we do that?
It teaches us about value.
Mm-hmm.
You will learn the most lessons about the use of value and how to put sparkle in your quilt when you don't have any color.
Mm.
You have to learn how to use shades and tints and the use of value if you're going to make a neutral quilt and put sparkle in it.
Okay,
and that
so value
will
being like
light
like
and dark.
Thinking of the white chocolate quilt, which is just several shades barely different of
More blended.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover quilt, scrappy nine, tons of value change, lots of sparkle.
And they're good scrappy quilts, Pat.
Yes, they are, which is the heart of what I love to do is scrappy quilts.
Yeah,
I love
people
that.
Love scraps because, like, your quilt on the cover of the book has nine patches and other units all working together, and they're small pieces, so you can put lots and lots of different fabrics in there.
Yes, you can, and lots of different value changes, which puts the sparkle in a quilt. If you want high sparkle, what I call sparkle anyway, you got to put a light next to a dark, and then you get pow, pow, pow. When you want it blended, less value change.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all beautiful
looks. And if you look at that cover quilt, that really is the epitome because you have so many different shades of cream that... And they're not all like lumped in one area. You've got them spread out nicely.
Right. And there's black and brown and gray and, you know, there's and white. It's all there. The same one, there's another quilt in the book that's called Havenstone that's like that. And it's like a snail's trail quilt, and it just sparkles and dances. It's a very popular quilt in the book. So, but it's the use of value that teaches you how to use it. That practice with value in neutral quilts will transfer you immediately over to color, and you'll be a better colorist if you learn about value. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, I never thought of it like that because I haven't really played in the land of neutrals. So I'm going to. You know, I think it's really exciting. I like the one called Sunnyside, too.
Oh, like that, I love that quilt. That's a real popular quilt for me. That's a real special quilt for me. Very, very special. And again, that has a real light background, a polka dot tote, real light tote, but the sunburst kind of shades really pop because it's high contrast with the value. And it works real well. So that's a very popular one, too. Like I said, the quilts in that book are very timeless. So
Right. And the other thing that you did, which I thought was interesting here, we'll try to fit this in. We're almost done. Is that you went purchasing sites, purchasing fabrics, rather, when you went to Paducah. You went just and bought neutrals.
I bought every neutral that wasn't nailed down, honey. I mean, it was ridiculous. I was coming out with bags and bags and bags of fabric. It's just, I bought so much fabric. It was ridiculous. I think I bought every neutral. I mean, seriously, I bought everything I could find.
Right. So, Pat, this has been fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Well, listen, there's another book coming here soon, so stay tuned. Got more coming your way, Pat. Give me a call later on, and we'll chat it up.
Sounds good. Visit Pat Weiss at silverthimblequilt.com, and we'll be right back in after the break, and we're going to have Leah Day on talking about free motion quilting. So, Pat, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pat. We'll talk to you later.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
10 colored fabric pens. One trusted embroidery machine. One DesignWorks software suite. 5 perfectly cut flowers. 250 glittering crystals. One dress as colorful as my imagination. Introducing the new DesignWorks software suite from Bernina. Includes cutwork for all the shapes that your creativity can imagine, paintwork for all the designs you can picture, and crystal work. Easily add sparkle to your creations. For more information, visit your Bernina dealer. Bernina, made to create.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am going to try a neutral quilt. I am. Okay, so a few years ago, I met Leah Day, and Leah is the power behind freemotionproject.com. She's also the owner of daystyledesigns.com. And Leah had this fabulous, fabulous idea few years ago to give you one free motion quilting design a day, 365 designs. And she was sort of in the beginning part of that when I met her. And she has done that. And I'm here to have her chat a little bit about free motion quilting because she has tried it all. Hi, Leah.
Hey, Pat. How you doing?
I am good. So tell me, why did you decide to do a free motion pattern a day? What sparked that whole project?
Well, you know, really, I just wanted to give myself permission to quilt every day. And I was in, you know, I was in that kind of difficult, tricky state between kind of being an intermediate quilter and having this wonderful, rich hobby, and being at that cusp of also wanting to own a business and wanting to be a professional and wanting to go advanced with it, I guess is the best way mm-hmm. of saying it. And in order to make that leap, you got to quilt every day. And I was having trouble giving myself permission to do that. So the idea of sharing the filler designs and doing that many of them, well, I knew I could share it, and I knew I could share a blog and it be very active, mm-hmm. But I also knew that it would force me to get on the machine. So it was all of those things at once.
Ah, you know, that it is sometimes, you know, it takes on a life of itself then, some of our decisions, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. It really took off. It took me by surprise even, and immediately became very popular. A lot of people writing in and just saying how much they were enjoying it. And, you know, of course, the blog evolved itself. I wasn't able to post designs daily after about 45 days or so. And so it took about 3 years to post them all, from 2009 until 2011. Mm-hmm. But we have 365, and then actually this past year, through all of 2012, I basically did a quilt along where we took some old designs and we learned a handful of new designs and we learned them in real quilts.
Wow.
So getting into that application process, that's been the struggle.
Now, Leah, do you find, I find this, is, you know, this is one of the reasons I'm really excited to have you on, is because people are afraid to quilt their own quilts for a lot of reasons. And when I first met you and when you first started this project and people started telling me about it, even before I met you, they were telling me about it, that they were excited because you were showing them easy ways to do things, things that weren't scary, that they could comprehend. And it was like little bites.
Yeah. I was stitching all of those designs into little 4-inch squares. Mm. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can do anything in 4 inches, and if you really mess it up, you can throw it away, and it's not that crucial. So part of it was that. Now, all of that was stitched on a small scale. Mm-hmm. That doesn't apply to most quilters. We want bed quilts, and, you know, we want to quilt on a bigger scale. So that was kind of the challenge this year, was to make everything bigger, stitch on a bigger scale, and then, but still keep that kind of mentality where if you mess it up, it's not the end of the world. Don't obsess about it. You know, kind of figure out whatever you need to do in order to bring your shoulders down from your ears, because we all get so stressed out and tense. And that's the struggle. I mean, I can remember being a beginner myself, and I think maybe that helps, is that I remember and have a very clear recollection of what that first quilt was like and how scary it was. And so maybe that helps simply because I can kind of tap into that memory and remember all the things that really helped. It was mostly just relaxing and just saying, I'm not going to pick up the seam ripper for that. I'm going to leave it. And leaving in some of those mistakes, because I still have those quilts. I can look back at it and I see those mistakes, and they're really not crucial. They didn't ruin the quilt.
Right.
You know, it certainly hasn't come apart in the 8 years that it's being washed. It's still working just fine, even for those bird's nests or knots or whatever went wrong.
Now, you started this whole, you know, videotaping and everything very low budget.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I actually borrowed/stole my father-in-law's video camera. It wasn't even my video camera. And I had a $15 tripod from Walmart. And that was really about it. Everything else was, you know, stuff I already had. I already had a sewing machine. Of course, I'd already been quilting. I found a drop-down sewing table at a yard sale for $3.
Wow.
So, yeah, everything was on a budget. I had an 18-month-old baby at the time that I started everything. So, you know, you have to keep in mind. I mean, I was really pretty much a stay-at-home mom at that time. And it's only been, you know, in the last 4 years that I kind of look at everything and say, okay, wow, I can afford to get another camera because these videos are clearly popular. And wow, they would look so much better if this was a little bit more updated. Recently, I'm still, though, using things and still working on quite a budget because you know, I took a tripod and took it apart and built basically how the tripod that I'm using right now. I built it into the wall so it worked better. So I'm always kind of modifying, making things work.
And you've recently graduated to sort of I would call it the big screen of internet by having an online class now at Craftsy.
Yeah, and that was such a wonderful experience. Going to Denver, Colorado, I kind of joked that it was the best vacation I'd ever had because it was going to Denver. I had this wonderful hotel room, and you know, of course, I left my husband and my son at home, so I was kind of away and eating this great food in Denver. But I mean, I was also working 8 hours straight,
right,
shooting these videos. So I mean, it was tough, but at the same time, it was also a very relaxing experience, and it was wonderful to just be able to show up and shoot and concentrate entirely on teaching. Mm-hmm. I wear so many hats at home, you know, not just being a wife and a mother, but, you know, shooting these videos, I have to do all the editing myself. I have to plan the video and have everything mm-hmm. kind of prepared and ready to go. In Denver, really, all of that was kind of done for me. So I was occasionally laughing, saying, wow, this is so easy. When do I get to come back? So it was a wonderful experience, and it's been such a great place to teach because the interaction is out of this world. You know, being able to say, hey, post your photo of your stitch issue, and students are doing that. They're posting their stitch issues and mm-hmm. photographs of it, and I'm able to respond to that and say, oh, okay, well, what's your thread and what's going on with this? And they're able to respond right back. And so we have this dialogue just like a real class, and that feels so good.
That is wonderful. It's wonderful. It's almost like they're sitting with you, because it's harder on a blog because you don't have something right there in the whole same system to be able to interact with them.
Absolutely. And you know, I really kind of feel like I ran the full gamut of that through 2012 of learning about teaching online and really more of interaction with students. And what I found, you know, between Blogger and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all mm-hmm. these random places, I was searching for student questions across, you know, 6 or 7 different sites. And it was very right. difficult to keep up with everybody and get their questions answered and all that kind of stuff. When Craftsy launched at the beginning of November, it was really like, wow, this is how to do it. You know, this is where it's at. And so mm-hmm. I've since encouraged all my students, anyone that's kind of getting into free motion quilting, to go on ahead and join the Craftsy class. Mm-hmm. And you can get 50% off link at my website, staystyledesigns.com. You can get a 50% off link, so it's only $20. Mm-hmm. And that's lifetime. So you get your Craftsy class, you can watch it. It's almost 8 hours of video footage with me. So it's a lot of content. And then, of course, anytime you have a question, whether it's right now, immediately as soon mm-hmm. as you sign up for the class, or it's in 10 years, you have a question right. for me, shoot it up there, and I'm going to answer it. So it's really felt good, especially because I'm already online. You know, I'm an online, right. I consider myself to be an online quilting teacher. And mm-hmm. so really, students aren't going for 3 days without their question answered. I'm already online blogging, that kind of thing. So it's only about 5 to 6 hours before I'll get to your question and answer it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. I mean, it's almost like being with you in the room.
Yeah. That's how I try and do it, simply because mm-hmm. I live in a small town in North Carolina, and major quilting teachers are not coming here. They're just not. So the way I look at it is, no matter whether you're my next door neighbor, or you live in Tanzania, or you live in wherever it is, it doesn't matter if you live in a big city or a rural location, you should have the same access to me. Mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. what I love about teaching online. It has enabled me to be a teacher to everyone, no matter where you live. And I love that. It really makes me feel so very fortunate.
Yeah, and people are lucky now that we have all these options. You and I talked, Leah, about a couple of things that people always ask, and I wanted to get mm-hmm. in one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it might be fun to answer. We talked a little bit about, now we're talking about free motion quilting and what people call the eyelash problem.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
you could describe what it is and tell us what they can look for to fix that.
Sure. This is usually shows up on the back of your quilt. So you're stitching along, and it usually looks okay from the front. And then all of a sudden you flip it over on the back, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? Basically what it looks like is your front stitches are pulling to the back in long loops. and long enough to look like literally the eyelashes on your eyes. And that's where the name comes from. Now, whenever this happens, whenever you flip it over and you get this nasty surprise, take a look at it. Don't just immediately run to your attention knob. Take a close look at it, and especially look for where it's happening. Because generally what I find is it happens in the same curve. So let's say we're going just back and forth, up and down U shapes. Mm-hmm. If you have this eyelash problem across the top curve of every single U shape, then that eyelash problem is not a tension issue. It is not something going wrong with your top thread tension. Mm-hmm. It is the speed of your machine and the movement of your hands. It is something wrong with the ratio of those two things that as you're quilting that one particular curve, you're not going fast enough. Your machine is plodding along. Your hands are very comfortable and very happy, and they're kind of blazing through it, and your foot's not down quite fast enough, and so the machine's lugging. And how it deals with that, how it compensates, is that the top thread gets pulled to the back by the bobbin. Mm-hmm. Looks like a tension issue. It's not. It's a speed movement issue. So when you see something like that, and like it's typical in stippling, you'll see it a lot in stippling. Mm-hmm. Just take a look at all those curves. And if it's the same shape, it's like the same, like, oh, it's like that left-hand turn or it's that right-hand turn or whatever movement it is, it's usually your hands are very comfortable doing it. You just need to put your foot down just a little bit to compensate for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good because I think we've all experienced that. And, and you just sort of, you know, I think that's great for you to say, you know, sit and analyze what you were doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pay attention. Look at it more than anything else. Set with it. Look at it and ask yourself, okay, well, it was stitching just fine 5 minutes ago. Clearly, you know, something happened between now and then, and it isn't tension. And a good place to start always for troubleshooting any kind of anything that you think might be a tension issue is stitch a straight line. Mm-hmm. And if a straight line is going to be balanced tension, if the top thread's not pulling to the bobbin or the bobbin thread's not pulling to the top, when you stitch a straight line in free motion, then it all of a sudden starts happening when you stitch those curves, then there's clearly something that's happening between the straight line and the curves. And the only thing it can possibly be is your speed and your movement.
Yeah. Because Leah, this has been really great. Can you come back another time and talk on some more things?
I would love to.
Oh, great. So this, I'm going to do that. We're going to have Leah come back because she has so much information. Visit her at daystyledesigns.com. And we'll be right back. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Dev Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Now I have to do a neutral quilt, and I have to go and practice my free motion some more. So, you know, I have tasks after these events, tasks after I do the radio show. So next we're going to talk about projects, patterns, you know, whatever that you can make quick projects. And Roseanne Kermes from Rosebud's Cottage is back. I love Roseanne. Hi, Roseanne. How are you?
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me back on again. And, you know, after this segment, you're going to have one more thing to do, because you're going to have Christmas presents you're going to have to make. So, you better get busy, girl.
I know. It's like I need a new schedule for these shows. I don't have to make everything afterwards. You know, it's like I'm very busy. So, you know, it happens, doesn't it? We're crunching down the last few days for the holidays, and people still want to make stuff. You know, we are just that kind of people. We're nuts.
I don't know why that is, but in fact, this morning I decided that I needed to make a Christmas sock for the girl my boy's going to marry in January. I needed it this year. I don't want to wait till next year.
Right. Yes. So you can't wait till they're married. It has to be this year. Yes.
Yes. So, you know, and it's only what? How many days do I have? A week?
Yeah. Well,
perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, I can do this.
Perfect. Perfect. So you and I came up with some things that are out there, so online. American Patchwork and Quilting has a Pinterest board, so maybe we'll talk about some things that we have pinned to our Pinterest board. And on Pinterest, you can go to, you could just put into the search box American Patchwork and Quilting, and the boards will come up. So what's one of your favorites that is a quick thing, besides the stocking, of course?
I think those tea towel aprons are probably the fastest thing around, because, you know, the body of the apron is already made for you. You know, they have just usually just like a tie for around the neck and around the waist, and they're ready to go. In fact, I had a customer in on Saturday, and she said that she made six of them for all the women who were going to be stuck in the kitchen on Christmas Eve, so they all could have a uniform. And I just thought that just made me laugh, because now they'll all look the same and they'll be hilarious, you know, laughing and kind of, you know, yeah, together that way.
Right.
You know, that towel.
Camaraderie.
Pardon me?
It builds camaraderie. You all have the same outfit.
Yeah. Makes it really fun. I've seen that towel made too with ruffles along the edge, like maybe one or two rolls of ruffles down at the bottom, or with a pocket on the front. Mm-hmm. Rickrack embellishments. So you can really make it kind of fun, so they don't all look alike and stuff too. So, no, that's a cool idea. Quick, I don't know that I'd make six, though, right now. I'd make one.
Now, you could make six of these. You could make six fancy napkins to put out.
Yeah, they have on their Pinterest board, they had one. They just took flower petal shapes and fused them in place to look like a poinsettia. And then they did a simple little stitch around the outside. You know, you could, if you don't want to do a blanket stitch by hand or by your machine, you could just do a raw edge stitch, you know, so that it frays up a little bit. A cute little button, or maybe even a yo-yo in the center to make it look like a poinsettia. I think that'd be really cute. There's so many cute linens out there right now. I was at one of the local chains yesterday, and there's a lot of them. They're on sale, and they're pretty. And that even might be something to stock up for. And they're too, you know, like a table runner or a towel or even napkins. You can put a little ruffle on the edge. I know too, I have customers, they'll come in with a purchased baby blanket, and they will look for fabric to match it and put like a baby's name on it, or some, you know, cute little applique for a baby or a baby's first Christmas, you know, something like that. You can do the same thing with baby bibs and things to make it special. So there's lots of pre-made stuff that'll save you a lot of time.
Yeah, and that's the name of the game when you're getting close to the deadline. But, you know, there's going to be crazy people who need to make a quilt.
Well, of course.
Yes. okay, now, my name in the hat.
Yeah, they did have one. It was a patchwork flannel quilt that had some piecing in it that was easy, very easy piecing. That was on their Pinterest page. I know on the American Patchwork and Quilting website, there's also some panel quilt ideas in there, too. And so panels would be fun to use, too, because there, again, the whole center of the quilt is made, and then you just do some simple stitching around the outside. The trick, though, if you're going to make a quilt right now, we're a week away from Christmas, keep it super simple. This is not the time to do all kinds of fancy work. And make sure, if you don't have time to quilt it yourself or don't have the skills, that you have your quilter on speed dial. You may be paying a little bit extra, but, you know, how much do you love that person?
Yes.
It's important.
So. Oh, and also, let your fabric do the talking. Pick absolutely fantastic fabric and just let it be the star of your quilt.
Yes. The fabric really, and something simple like that really makes the quilt. So, yeah, very cool.
Now, there was another one I saw out there that I think is kind of cool for a decorator gift, or if you need to maybe decorate your home a little bit to sort of spiff it up. Maybe you wanted to just do, like fancy fabric, like maybe you want Christmas fabric or Hanukkah fabric to put up on the wall. They have some stretched canvas where the fabric is put on over that and then just hung up.
Well, that's a pretty easy thing to do too, because the canvas frames are already available stretched in the art supply part of your hobby store. And you can put the fabric on top of it in several ways. You could just take some paint the edge that would be like the sides of it, and then use fusible and fuse on the fabric on top. You can use a decoupage medium and brush it on, and just start in the center, smooth your fabric out toward the edge, and then wrap it around. There's double-sided tape. There's a lot of things. I didn't look at the directions for the stretch canvas on their Pinterest page, but I'm sure there's lots of ways to do that. Another thing, if you want to make it really special, you can put your fabric on top of the canvas and then go and use stickers, or there's some little wood letters and things that you could go and you could spell out a quote or a shape, or, you know, do something like that to make it very unique and kind of personal. You know, the other thing that I love are those hoops with fabric in them.
Oh,
I know it's
a
throwback thing, you know, because that's how I first started learning how to do this. But it's such a pretty way to show off fabric that you are just totally in love with. And, you know, if you have some blank spaces on your wall, a great way to fill them up and stuff. But really great gifts, not very expensive, which is kind of nice this time of year, too.
And they can be for someone who has a more modern interior, maybe, because you can pick modern fabric, and they're very classy looking.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And match up with somebody's decor. You know, the big thing is it's the thought that counts, you know. You want somebody to know that you're thinking of them.
Yeah. Now, you also found one that you shared with me that was using scraps. And, you know, we love and own scraps.
Oh, that was that one. It was called the Fabric Strips Pincushion.
Yes.
And it had a little base, and the whole thing was just made with torn leftover fabric, and it was really cute. I suppose if you didn't want to tear it, you could use like a scalped scissors or a pinking scissors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or a rotary cutter with a decorative blade on it and make it really cute that way. But that little pincushion looked really fast.
Yeah, so. And they have them hanging, too. They show you on the picture that they're hanging off a bag, so they could be decoration on your presents. Or...
Yeah, you know, pin cushions can be ornaments, too, and then they turn into pin cushions after the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a tie on them, people can tie it onto the sewing basket and things. So those are very fun. I also think those little fabric rosettes that you can make, I can't think of there's other names for them, but they can be made out of wool or fabric strips. They're just really pretty for the top of a package, or if you're getting a gift card, you know, something to kind of snazz it up a little bit.
So. We also found some flowers done with, like, rosettes with very little fabric and very quick to make. And they're also at allpeoplequilt.com. You can find them on the Pinterest board, and they could be on a package too, couldn't they?
Yeah, you could put them on a package. They can also be made into ornaments. If you wanted to use them as a hair clip, you can hot glue them onto those little clips that you can get at the hair supply store or you know, chain store, whatever. Yeah. So lots of fun things that way. You know, those little clips too, they're cute to put on like a collar of a jacket or on the pocket. They make like a little decoration on your clothing too. If you just glue them to those little clips.
So do you think people's like stress level is like rising, or do you think we're all getting very excited about being able to make more presents?
They're probably like hyperventilating right now, and
yeah.
They're getting out their paper bags, thinking, right. "Oh my gosh, who else do I need to give a quick little gift to?"
Right, right. You know, they're sewing friends. These are great things for sewing friends. You know.
Oh yeah.
And then there was another kind of rosette done with either felt or wool, and the edges are pinked. And then you're like running a. Have you tried this one? Where you do the
that
running
one,
stick?
Yes, we actually did that in one of our clubs not too long ago, and that's one where you start with a spiral, and you draw a spiral,
oh, a spiral.
On your fabric, yeah. And then you take a. They were using a. In that picture, they were using a scallop blade, and you just run it along the line that you drew, and then you just gather it up, and that project magically. Gathers up into the cutest little rosette. It's very fun. And when you make them out of like sweaters that have been shrunk down or wool that you felted, the edges don't fray, and you can put a cute little button or beads or something in the center, or even decorate them a little bit more if you want. But that's another fun fast project too.
Well, I might have to add that one to my list. It looks like
I like that one. Because I know that one is fast. I do know that one.
Okay, so we sort of have one more thing we can chat about, I think, Roseanne. But let's chat about assembly line. You know, you've done a lot of assembly line things, but I think sometimes if you're making a whole lot of the same item, people, you know, what are a couple of top tips to do an assembly line?
Well, I used to be make a lot of things for sales and stuff, and these are some of the things that I learned. First off, crunch time, not the time to be creative. Yes. You just want to get your job done. And make sure that you're using a pattern that you're familiar with or a designer that you trust if it's a new pattern. Mm-hmm. Nothing too complicated. You're going to save those till after New Year's Day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's thought that counts. You don't want, you know, it doesn't have to be big. It just has to be something, you know that makes that person feel good. When I do assembly line things, one of my biggest tips is don't sit down. Stand up. I do a lot of my working at a counter then. If you sit down, you start getting relaxed, you don't work efficiently. And that is actually a trick from factories. If you, a lot of times in factories, you're elevated or more standing up, you get more work done. Do all the same steps at the same time. Do all the cutting once. Sew the same seam, then get up and press. Do the embellishments at the same time.
Right.
You want to do those kind of things. And then find some shortcuts. If you know how to sew buttons on by machine, on your sewing machine, you know, you're home free, especially if you have something that needs a lot of buttons.
Roseanne, this has been great.
We're done.
Yes, this has been great. Thank you so much. Visit Roseanne at Rosebud's Cottage. And Roseanne, you'll have to come back again.
I would love to, Pat.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com, and from there you can find our Pinterest page.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks.